We've been looking at the book of Proverbs this summer. I think Proverbs provides a mirror for us, a mirror of wisdom, so that we can see ourselves and how we are in the real world. I think of Proverbs as reality therapy. It can be a little shocking as we go through some of these topics. We've looked at Proverbs for work, Proverbs for sloth, Proverbs for integrity. Today we'll look at Proverbs for speech, Proverbs for words. And next Sunday is the 4th of July, so I'm going to do Proverbs for politicians. And I kind of swerved into that in my study when I saw that several chapters in Proverbs are dedicated specifically to kings and rulers. So that'll be curious to fun to look at that this coming week. The poster said, "Wanted for murder. Her careless talk cost lives." Now, this is one of the many posters circulated by the U.S. War Department in World War II. It was part of a campaign by the Army called the Careless Talk Series. It started in 1940 in Great Britain, and it highlighted the many ways that careless talk could leak sensitive information that our enemies would use to kill soldiers and sink ships and undermine the war effort. And this is where we get the phrase, "loose lips, sink ships." That's from that campaign. So the book of Proverbs, I think, launches its own careless talk campaign. 24% of the Proverbs have to do with words and talk and speech. That's 222 verses out of the 915 verses. Wow. If you want to do a full study of speech in Proverbs, that's 222 verses. We're not going to do that today. I'm just going to summarize. Yes, I saw that fist pump over there. We'll look at some of the highlights. Well, why is this? Proverbs lays out the difference between wise and foolish living, and nothing differentiates the wise and the foolish more than our words, than what we do with our tongue. I think Proverbs would agree, careless talk costs lives. And immediately, the first proverb I think of is Proverbs 18:21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." We all know that one, right? Maybe you've heard an angry person say, "You're going to eat those words." Have you heard that? Maybe you've said it. Well, what does this proverb say? It says, we all eat our words. Every word we eat, those who love it, it means the tongue. And I think that means the person who likes to talk a lot. So there's a little warning here. Eating the fruit means we have to accept the consequences of what we say, whether it was good or bad. Good words are like eating good fruit. Bad words, like eating something rotten, maybe even a bar of soap. Has anybody here ever had a bar of soap put in their mouth? Yeah. I heard my friend had that happen to him one day when I was a kid, so I went home and tried it. We all eat our words. There are consequences for every word. When it leaves our mouths, it's going to produce fruit somewhere, for good or for evil. Words can bless, words can curse, words can help, words can harm, words can fulfill, words can kill. Jesus said this, "I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken." We forget. Jesus has his own careless word campaign. And we will be judged by our words, by the fruit of our words. Words have consequences now in this life and also into eternity. So just as a doctor will have you stick out your tongue and look and see if you're healthy, I'm not going to have you stick your tongues out at me. If you want to, go ahead. There we go. I'll give you 5 seconds to stick your tongues out. All right, there's your checkup. But just as a doctor says, stick out your tongue, I think Proverbs says, stick out your tongue and let's see about your spiritual health. Let's see what's in your soul. So today I want to look at 4 characteristics of the words of the wise. First, the words of the wise are restrained. This theme comes out over and over again in these 222 verses. Proverbs 13:3, one who guards his mouth protects his life. One who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Proverbs 10:19, when there are many words, wrongdoing is unavoidable, but one who restrains his lips is wise. I think that's a good verse for social media. So many words, so much wrongdoing. And Proverbs 18:13. One who gives an answer before he hears, it is foolishness and shame to him. So the words of the wise are restrained in various ways. They are guarded. The wise think before they speak. They listen before they talk or shape an opinion. They know that, generally speaking, it's better to talk less, and then you'll sin less. William Norris wrote this, if your lips would keep from slips, 5 things observe with care. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how and when and where. That's pretty good. Now, fools, on the other hand, they run at the mouth. They vent. They have no governor on their tongue. They speak before thinking. They speak before listening. They just speak. They have to speak. Plato said, wise men speak because they have something to say. But fools speak because they have to say something. Stick out your tongue, the doctor said to someone who came in for a checkup. And then he went to his desk and he wrote out a prescription and said, here, take this. This should help. And the patient said, but doctor, you never looked at my tongue. I know, I just wanted you to stop talking so I could write out the prescription. That's the book of Proverbs. Proverbs prescribes that we restrain our tongues until we are convinced the time is right and the words are right to speak. The words of the wise are restrained. Second, the words of the wise are healing. Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. And Proverbs 15:23, a person has joy in an apt answer. How delightful is a timely word. See, sometimes we have a really good word, but it's just the wrong time and it doesn't work. In Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. The words of the wise are healing words. Wise words don't weigh weigh us down, they lift us up. Wise words are timely. They are appropriate. Wise words said at the right time in the right way, they bring joy and delight. Proverbs 4:22 says, wisdom brings life and healing to the body. Who said this? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie. Nothing could be further from the truth. Bad words are bad to the bone, aren't they? And I would guess, if we would be honest today, we remember those words that struck us like a sword, don't we? I do. I'm sorry to say, I remember the words that hit me like a sword. They cut, but wise words heal. Charles Wesley was a great hymn writer, along with his brother John. They were evangelists and founders of the Methodist Church. And Charles Wesley was one of these pastors who pastored a church and did missionary work, but he wasn't a Christian. That happens, you know. And so a year before he met Jesus, a year before he was born again, he was sick. He had tremendous anxiety. He was afraid of death. And so he wrote this in his journal. I was composing myself to sleep when I heard one come in and say to me, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and believe, and thou shalt be healed of all thine infirmities. And the word struck me in the heart. I lay musing and trembling and with a strange palpitation of heart. I said, yet I feared to say, I believe. I believe. That was the night of his conversion. So a year later, he wrote a hymn to celebrate his one-year anniversary of being born again, of his new birth. And he wrote this hymn, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ear. 'Tis life and health and peace. Happy anniversary, Charles Wesley. The words of the wise bring healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, and yes, even physical healing from those wounds caused by words. Well, third, the words of the wise are true. Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips will endure forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. That's a little reassuring, isn't it? Lies don't last very long. I appreciate that. Truth will last. Truth will stand the test. Proverbs 14:25, a truthful witness saves lives, but one who declares lies is deceitful. Proverbs 24:26, the one who gives a right answer kisses the lips. And all the kids said, yuck. No, that's a good one. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So the words of the flatterer, the words of the braggart, the words of the talebearer, Proverbs says, the words of the gossiper, they're all untrue words. We should not speak them. Now, flattery is nice to hear, but it's still a lying tongue. And gossip is, ooh, that can be really juicy. A dainty morsel, the Proverbs calls it, a little sweet. But it's a lying tongue. Proverbs says gossip just throws more wood on the fire. And if you want more peace in your life, just get the wood off the fire so there's nothing to burn. And Gossip just inflames a situation. Truthful lips endure. Truth never expires. Lies have a shelf life. They don't last. They don't survive. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, "One word of truth outweighs the world." That's good to remember. In Phoenix, a news anchor named Carrie Lake, she resigned after 22 years in the news business. And here's what she said in her resignation. She said, "I found myself reading news copy that I didn't believe was fully truthful or only told part of the story. So I began to fear that I was contributing to the fear and division in this country by continuing in this profession." Not everyone is dedicated to telling the truth. But thankfully, many of you have figured that out. And I promise you, if you hear it from my lips, it will be truthful. And that's a promise we all need to make these days. If it comes from our lips, it needs to be truthful. At the right time. In the right way. Such honesty, Proverbs says, is like a kiss. An honest, true answer is an outward expression of what is truly in the heart. The words of the wise are true. Well, finally, the words of the wise are life. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Proverbs 21:23, the one who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And Proverbs 15:31, one whose ear listens to a life-giving rebuke will stay among the wise. Words are a fountain of life. Wise words are beneficial. Wise words are encouraging. Wise words are life-giving. Wise words are life-building. But the words of the wicked, they inflame. They lead to more trouble. There's more anger and a lot of violence, much violence. Wise words guard your soul and your life. A gentle answer turns away wrath. What is a gentle answer? Is that a whisper? A gentle answer is a respectful answer that keeps tempers from flaring. It is that soft answer that restores peace and quiet in a situation. And the words of the wise rebuke. Rebuke is necessary. Sometimes we have to correct in order to preserve life and end something that's foolish going on. When I read that, I think of what happened at my home a few years ago. My daughter, Kai Rose, was helping with the yard work, and she would mow and pick up sticks, and we had a little burn pile at the end of the yard. And I asked her to mow and pick up the sticks and burn the burn pile. And so she had seen Dad do that. And, of course, Dad would take a little bit of old drain oil and sprinkle on that fire just to get it to pop faster. Well, I am so glad that I happened to be looking out the window. And there goes my daughter. I don't know how old she was, but she's a real go-getter. And there she was walking down the backyard with a lighter in one hand and a can of gas in the other hand. And I jumped out the window and said, "Stop!" That was my rebuke. A very handy rebuke at the right time. And sure enough, she turned around and I think, "Oh, that horrifies me to think what could have happened that day. I don't want to think about it. Forget it." Sometimes we just have to say, "Stop it." That's the wisest rebuke. Stop it. And as soon as I say stop it, I think of that old Bob Newhart show where he was in a therapy session. It's up on YouTube, and someone comes in for counseling, and all he says is stop it for 5 minutes. Anyway, you might want to look that up sometime. It's pretty funny. Stop it! That is the words of the wise, too. When we see foolishness going on and we see someone headed for danger. James says, let's remember, that the tongue can start a fire. Things can get out of control in a hurry and can decide your future for good or for evil. The words of the wise are full of life. The words we're reading and listening to today, these words are words of life for us. Aren't you thankful for these words? The best words of life I can speak today are these. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are good words. That's good news. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, if you don't have eternal life, I would love to talk to you. You can pray today and receive new life from God through Christ. Our mouths should be filled with the gospel. We believe our words should be filled with life. Our words should be filled with gospel all week long, everywhere we go. So what's the conclusion? The words of the wise are restrained, Proverbs says. The words of the wise bring healing. The words of the wise are always true, and the words of the wise give life. I think, like in World War II, our nation and our churches, we need a new careless word campaign. Things have become so foolish in our nation. We have had a war of words going on for years now, so foolish, so unrestrained, so false. We need to be reminded that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And Jesus reminds us that this war of words is really a war going on in our hearts. So I'll close with this scripture, Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Nothing reveals our hearts more than our words. And what fills the heart fills the mouth. Now, I don't believe words alter reality or change facts. Only God can do that. God changes reality. God can do a miracle by our prayers. Our words reveal our hearts. Our tongue tells us more about our spiritual condition than anything else. So let me say the good news one more time. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Christ will give you a new heart, and guess what that means? You'll have a new tongue. And if you're a Christian, sometimes I know it's actually difficult to know if we're growing or not. Have you found that? I mean, how do I know if I am a growing Christian or not? That is a tough question. Well, here's one way we can know. just stick out your tongue. Do a little tongue examination. Once in a while, maybe this week, take a look at your words. Set aside a time each day, maybe in the evening, and think through your day. Review the words you said to your family, to your spouse, to your boss. And don't forget the words you say to yourself. They can be the most cruel. And what words have you spoken to God? Take an inventory. And then look for patterns in your tongue. Patterns of worry and criticism or nagging or anger or prayer, encouragement and affirmation. What, if you want to know the condition of your spiritual life, if you really want to grow as a Christian, you need to get serious about taking an inventory of your tongue, your words. You're a new heart. Wants more control of that old tongue. That's called sanctification. So, brothers and sisters, let's work on our words. Let's remember we are people of the word, and that means words are not cheap. Words are not cheap. Words are very expensive. And as believers, words are our work. We are people of the word. Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my Redeemer. Amen.